This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is 7:06 and you're listening to the Evening Edition with Lynn. We are turning now to looking at direct negotiations. And this, again, was something that was talked about earlier on in the show and for that matter, this entire week. And on that note, we have already received some messages. Before we dive in, we have Raj saying, I think that direct negotiations should be eliminated entirely. The real issue here is speed. If the tender is urgent, then they can always set a tight deadline. And I'm sure many will still submit proposals due to the sheer magnitude of the project. And while the Pakatan government was in power, they still had the prerogative to hold back and reissue open tender for such huge projects. So that is one thought. We do also have others, which we'll get to shortly. But first, some background. So this whole thing, in case you missed it this week, actually started in the Dewan Rakyat on Monday. Finance Minister Tengku Datuk Sri Zafrul Abdul Aziz announced that 101 projects worth 6.61 billion were approved by the Finance Ministry through direct negotiations under the former Pakatan Harapan government. So initially, the minister didn't reveal details. But after some pressure from MPs, the list of projects was released yesterday. And Tengku Zafrul said that the list was released in the interest of transparency and that the issue itself should not be politicised. He also went on to say that the direct awards were legal and allowed under the Financial Procedure Act 1957 and by the rules of the Treasury. So Pakatan MPs have since claimed that over 70% or 4.5 billion ringgit worth of that total 6.61 amount was approved by the former Barisan National Administration. Lim Guan Eng, the former finance minister, said that Pakatan was only responsible for 5.3% of the directly awarded contracts. Most of that over 6 billion ringgit amount went to legacy projects and contracts for suppliers or services taken on during Barisan's tenure. So for instance, he cited the Klang Valley Double Tracking Phase 2 project, which is now worth over 4.4 billion. This project was approved by the previous Barisan government by an amount of over 5.2 billion, just as Parliament was dissolved in March 2018. And he also said that the Pakatan government later renegotiated the deal to a lower amount of 4.4 billion ringgit instead. Since then, other ministers have also come under the spotlight. Housing and local government ministers Zuraida Kamarudin said that she was unaware of two projects approved by her ministry during Pakatan's time, and the projects themselves are worth 170 million ringgit. So she said that the projects were approved without her knowledge and that her ministry will be looking into the issue. So I think the thing here is, while we wait for whoever it is to look into wherever it is that they need to, this whole thing has brought up something that a lot of us have been asking for, which is for more transparency on the part of the government on what it spends money on. And this has come through a variety of ways, right? People saying that they would like a mid-year report card, for example, on the budget. People just wanting a clearer picture of what the success rate is of the money we spend. How are we actually measuring why we spend where we spend it? And there's also currently no specific law for public procurement, although there have been calls for such legislation to be enacted. So we'll be exploring this in more detail with our guest, Tricia Yeo, who's the CEO at IDEAS, that's the Institute for Democracy and Economic Affairs, and that is going to be coming your way very shortly. But in the meantime, if you would like to weigh in on the subject of direct negotiations, you can, of course, call us at 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio.
Bringing fresh meaning. BFM 89.9.
It's 7:13 and you're listening to the Evening Edition with Lynn, and we are now continuing a conversation that we've been having in some way or form for most of the week, and that is on the subject of direct negotiations and essentially the right and wrong of it and the pitfalls of it, especially when it comes to the issues of transparency that we're seeing regardless of who is in power. So to dive into this now, we're crossing over to Tricia Yeo, CEO at IDEAS, that's the Institute for Democracy and Economic Affairs. Tricia, thank you so much for joining us this evening. So we spoke with you recently about Lim Guan Eng's charges related to the Penang Undersea Tunnel Project, and you said at the time that the charges are likely to undermine Pakatan Harapan's narrative of good governance. And now there's the view that this ongoing focus by Perikatan Nasional on direct negotiations might be politically motivated to further discredit the former administration. What's your read on the situation?
Hi, thanks for having me again. Yeah, I think that this is a rare day for procurement transparency in Malaysia, in the sense that there was a release of the details and disclosure of the details of 6.61 billion ringgit in directly negotiated contracts. And this should be applauded in the first place. Whether or not it is a politically motivated move, I don't really want to answer that. But what I do want to answer is that if we actually have a more regulated procurement legislation in the form of the Government Procurement Act, which, by the way, is one of the commitments that's under the National Anti-Corruption Plan that was put into place under the Pakatan Harapan government, but that the Prime Minister Muhyiddin and the Agong as well under the current administration have committed to doing still. So if they are committed to still carrying out the NACP, then I really do hope that the GPA, the Government Procurement Act, will be legislated for in Parliament. Now, why does that address all these problems that we're talking about today? This will mean that disclosures of contracts become a normal and integrated part of the entire procurement value chain, the entire chain of accountable procurement activities, all the way from the beginning, the planning process, and right to the end in terms of disclosure. Nobody will then say, okay, it's only during PN time that you're listing PH directly negotiated contracts, under Perikatan Nasional, whether they will disclose their contracts as well. So I think we can actually do away with these finger-pointing mechanisms by legislating a comprehensive procurement legislation that will regulate, institutionalize the disclosure practices of procurement activities.
And do you think that that kind of legislation is actually likely to materialize? And, would it be in the political interest, I suppose, of the current administration to actually do so?
I think that it can certainly be a huge win. In fact, it's quite a low hanging fruit of the government, because it just puts into place certain mechanisms that the Ministry of Finance is already doing. I understand that the Ministry of Finance does have a procurement division that is already talking about trying to do some of these good things in improving its procurement processes. So I think if it's already making these moves to improve procurement processes, include and introduce new accountability mechanisms into the process, then we might as well put these into writing into the form of a legislation and celebrate the wins that the government and the administration is already working so very hard to do.
And it's been pointed out, really, that this incident shows that direct negotiations were still practiced under Pakatan, despite earlier promises that that might not happen so much, although arguably it did happen at a much smaller scale than before. How do you see Pakatan supporters reacting to this?
Well, the supporters of Pakatan Harapan have reacted by pointing holes at the fact that some of these decisions were made by people who are still part of Perikatan Nasional, so some of the ministers. The second thing they're also doing is to say that these negotiated contracts were renegotiated at a lower value compared to what was done under the BN time. So basically, these are all negotiated contracts that now they're renegotiating down. So they've reacted in these two ways. I think that these reactions are to be expected. But again, instead of these finger pointing and instead of going on this tit for tat sort of role playing that either side is going to do, depending on which side of the equation you're from. I mean, when you're in the opposition, then you're going to, finger point at the current government of the day. Rather than doing that, I hope that both sides of the political divide can rise above this and actually use this as an opportunity to say that let's regularize and institutionalize some of these things so that no matter which side of the political divide that you're on, the rules will be very clear. Like, put it down in writing. When is it that direct negotiations are allowed for, and when is it that direct negotiations are not allowed for? And we know that open tenders are the golden standard of procurement, but we also know that sometimes you need to directly negotiate contracts because of the nature of the project, the fact that certain industries only have a very small number of suppliers that can, reasonably do these things. But the point is that the rules just need to be made very clear, so that whoever you are, whether you're a supplier, whether you're the government agency, like making those procurement contracts available, and the regulator from the government and the Ministry of Finance as well, all stakeholders will be absolutely clear and be on the same page as to what the law says and what the regulations say about this.
And if we can take another quick look at the sentiment around this issue, so that's on the side of Pakatan Harapan supporters, but what about the sentiment among BN supporters or party members?
I think it's a difficult thing to answer because this has been an ongoing practice for many years, that procurement has been used as a way sometimes to justify the need to reward loyalists and loyal party members. And sometimes this is done because the party members had perhaps survived for a long time under very small returns. So I'm saying this regardless of party, right? I'm just saying that regardless of party, loyalists have tended to look to procurement contracts as a means to staying loyal, essentially. And this actually brings you into the bigger picture of how parties survive and how parties are actually funded. At the moment, I think that the question of tenders and procurement is quite disconnected from the question of political funding. But at some point, we also need to bring the conversation forward into asking the question of whether those connections are real, and the question about whether political parties and party members or loyalists, whether this is one of the routes by which the parties are also funded in one way or other. And if that is the case, why that is the case, and also therefore it also speaks to the need to have a political funding act or some form of legislation that also regulates the way parties are funded.
So going back to what you said earlier about this need for politicians to rise above the politics of it all, the current finance minister has said that the list was released with transparency in mind and he asked for it to not be politicised. In our current political climate, though, is that separation even possible?
Yeah, well, I think given the way that politics is highly fluid at the moment, where there can be cross-party relationships as well as cross-party negotiations taking place, I wouldn't like to make a guess as to whether this particular act was political or not. I think that the more disclosure there is, the better. But if Tengku Zafro is serious about really saying that there was no, political agenda behind this, then I would like to take him on his word and ensure that all directly negotiated contracts under the Perikatan National Government, starting from the time that they came into power in early March, should also be disclosed. I believe that, early on in the administration period of Perikatan National, when they first came into office, the public was also made aware of directly negotiated contracts to procure equipment to tackle the COVID-19 outbreak. And we understand that, during that time, it was a crisis and it's possible that some of the services and works and goods had to be procured very quickly during such a crisis. But if so, there were two things. Like, one, again, put that list down, you know, really transparently made that list public as well. What were the directly negotiated contracts during the PN time, starting even during the COVID crisis? And number two, the justifications need to be made public as to why this was done.
Tricia, thank you so much for speaking with us today. That was Tricia Yeo, CEO at IDEAS, the Institute for Democracy and Economic Affairs, talking to us about direct negotiations and just, I guess, how to understand what's been happening this week. And in line with that, we've been asking you for your thoughts. And Kamar Nizam says, direct negotiation is a necessary tool. What we need is transparency. It can be transparent. It does not have to be politicized. Meanwhile, Stephen says, if any minister doesn't know what has been approved under their ministries, they should be honourable, do the right thing, and resign. Yes, there should be a mid-year budget review to ensure accountability. Politicians are taking for granted their public role in office should be to serve the rakyat. And mechanisms need to be put into all ministries to disclose their performance and to check how they are doing versus the budget and any weaknesses that need to be rectified. So again, if you have any thoughts you'd like to share on the subject of direct negotiations, which has in some ways dominated headlines and discourse this week, you can let us know. That number to call is 7733 2900. You can also WhatsApp 018-789-8899. Tweet us at BFM Radio.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my. BFM 89.9, the business station.